Welcome to Foxhole Symphony, a podcast about the transformational value of men in authentic community.
In our Foxhole, men are equipped to build relationships that foster belonging, accountability, and growth.
Stop believing the lie that you can thrive in isolation and instead,
join us on the journey from broken to whole.
Hey everybody, I'm Chris and I'd like to welcome you back to the Foxhole Symphony podcast where we equip and encourage men to build authentic relationships that foster belonging, accountability, and growth. And here to make that happen, we have Steve and Mark with Loaves and Fishes.
Well, good morning, Sarge.
Good morning.
The title of today's episode is Loaves and Fishes. But really, this conversation, Sarge, is totally born from Stevie the rescue dog.
Yeah. Love him.
I know. I'm looking at him right now.
What a gift from God.
My heart is melting about this dog. And the thoughts he catalyzed in my head about our role as rescuers, where God has put us today.
Yeah.
What you and I sometimes do, I guess, matter-of-factly in our walk. But it's such a big, big topic that we'll try and, you know, cover in a half hour of meandering. Let me tell you where my heart is with this. The Loaves and Fishes story is born from The Chosen. Shout out to Dallas Jenkins and The Chosen, one of my favorite TV shows.
Shout out Chosen.
Thank you. And he tells a story, a very, very short version about his successes and failures in developing new Hollywood media and films, a big failure of his and with a production that he planned before The Chosen. And in his processing of that failure and trying to figure out what to do next in his life, where, you know, I'm the director, I'm the writer, I'm the creative guy, somebody he barely knew from Romania sent him a Facebook Messenger note and said, "Hey, Dallas, remember, it's not your job to feed the 5,000. It's your job to bring the loaves and fishes."
Yeah.
And I heard that story several years ago before The Chosen season one. And I've listened to it several times and I listened to it again this morning after getting the flyer for Stevie the rescue dog. I'll tie all this together, I promise. But that for me really, really helped me. Probably now it's 3 years ago to come to to get better clarity on my role, where God has me in my life when it comes to relationships in my family, at work, but more specifically in men's ministry. Where we find ourselves, whether for me in Band of Brothers, in a very detailed leadership role, and then, or Marked Men are the two most important areas that is for me. And the clarity comes with another dose of humility, which, you know, if there was a vitamin H, I would take, I would take it every day. And pride and understanding that, you know, I saw this, the connection to this dog, this little sheepdog I'm looking at. I'm walking red this morning and a car pulls up behind me and a woman says, "Hey, have you seen our dog?" And she hands me this flyer, which I showed you, and it's lost dog, sheepdog named Stevie. Talking to her, "Love to help you find your dog, seen in our neighborhood. Yes, we'll help." Turns out, come home, tell Maria, it's on Facebook. It's all out there. It's the rescue dog. And I thought, it took me about 3 minutes to be walking along with my dog quietly in the hill behind my house. And I thought, oh man, would it be cool to find this dog? I mean, if I could find this dog, then everybody would say, "Mark, you rescued the rescue dog. Like you. Wow. Pretty cool, Vesper, you know?
Badge of honor."
Oh. And then I got just waylaid, right cross, right to the jaw, just humbled, thinking, oh my gosh, I'm still so broken in this. My life is like, oh, here's an opportunity, Mark, for you to participate in a rescue. What God has done for me time and time and time again. And my first inclination is, well, how do I get to the front of the line so people take my picture? Idiot. So it's humbling for me, but I think there's a real important story behind this, because a Stevie showed up at my house 16 years or so ago looking to be rescued.
Oh, yeah, I was a lost sheepdog for sure.
Right. And you're marginally cuter and less furry.
I don't know. That's a cute dog. That is a cute dog.
I know we've talked about this a little bit, but I think it's wholly appropriate to give God the glory of the conversation first and say, okay, there's a message here. We've wanted to talk about, we've had loaves and fishes on our list for months. And I think today's the day that we peel this onion back for our listeners and maybe talk about your, what brought you to the door, not my role in that, but what brought you to the door? Cause you knew.
Yeah.
I mean, and obviously I know the story, but can you peel that for us a little bit?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's a long time ago. So to go back there and really get into the heart of where I was is, you know, challenging, but I think, you know, to get down to the root of what was going on in my life as a, you know, young dad, you know, of a 2 and a 4 year old, you know, married, what, I don't know, 6 years at that point, and, you know, working 3 jobs, you know, multiple careers, just trying to make it, you know, make it happen, make it work. You know, overwhelm is probably the word that comes to mind, right? Like you know, tired, overwhelmed, burning the candle at both ends, balls in the air, plates spinning, call it what you will, but it was overwhelm and really lacked community. I think for me, you know, we had just moved back from Florida,
right,
back to New Jersey. So we didn't have community. And, you know, so that's what I was really starving for. I mean, I was starving for that support, connection, encouragement. Like I was just, you know, flailing, right? Trying to figure it out, how to be a dad, how to be a decent husband and, you know, how to care for my family and feeling the burden of doing that, of doing all of that well alone.
Right.
Feeling alone anyway.
Sure.
So that's what was going on in my life. It's not, you know, it wasn't sort of, it was probably something that, you know, many young men can identify with, I would imagine, you know, you know, it was certainly a far different place than where I was before marriage and kids. I mean that, you know.
Well, you had that, probably had that same feeling when you had the kids, you're holding your son in your arms for the first time.
Oh yeah.
And part of your brain is going, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, what do I do with this?
I often talk to my wife or others about walking out of the hospital the first time, you know, with our son in the car seat. And I'm going, they're just going to let us leave with this human?
Doesn't it come with a trainer?
Like I literally said those words. What do you mean? Like I was like, I don't understand. We just put him in the car and we go? Right. How's this even right? You know, it's like, oh my God. Oh, boy.
Is there a replacement policy?
Yeah, actually, it wasn't him. It was her, my daughter. It was Hannah.
Right.
But anyway, I think I probably said the same thing when we brought
Nick. Well, I was going to say, I went to boys. Sorry. Yeah. Well, let me connect the dots there to loaves and fishes and just where you were in your life when you decided to talk to Dan Arthur.
Yeah.
Right. And he pointed you.
He did.
To our house.
Yes.
And, the story in the Bible is about Jesus doing a sermon to the point where he kept people so long that they were exhausted and tired and hungry and thirsty.
Kind of like a Band of Brothers meeting.
There you go.
Late Thursday night back then.
That's right. Right? Midnight. You must leave. Everybody out.
Instead of loaves and fishes, it was half a bag of Doritos and like a...
Entenmann's chocolate donuts.
Exactly.
Yes. Oh, what great...
what was left of them.
Great meetings. I was always so glad when y'all left the snacks after. I should sit there. Sorry. That was confession. But in any case, the Bible story speaks to... the Jesus saying, feed them. And they're like, we can't feed them. We look, there's one kid here and he's got a basket with a couple, some bread and some little bit of fish.
Yeah.
5 and 2, I think it is. Right. And suddenly it occurred to everybody. The apostles fed everybody because Jesus did his part. They found the boy with the loaves and fish.
Yeah.
And I know that's what my role is here for you. While I have patted myself on the back almost to the extent of dislocating my shoulder for rescuing you, I understand my role in that now. I didn't 16 years ago because I have admitted to everybody on the air that I was kind of like, oh my gosh, when I closed the door, I forget if I closed it in front of you or behind you, but it was my front door of my house. I'm like, oh, I what do I do with this?
Yeah.
Just like you were with Hannah.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Really? Like, there are some guys meeting in my basement, but I know most of them are wives. We've had dinners. It's the extension of Band of Brothers comes out of a life group.
Yeah.
Right? At Southridge. So without getting too far afield, there are great connections, rescue connections. There's the dog this morning story. Its name is, it's not inappropriately named, Steve E. I remember we're creeping up on 9/11 remembrance right now, right? We're a few days away from that. I know when this airs, it'll be over. But I remember the story. Do you remember the story of the red bandana guy?
I don't.
No? Wells Crowther. The name Wells Crowther just sticks in my head. I could have the last name wrong, but his first name was Wells. And there were some people up on the 78th floor of the South Tower that said, this guy with a red bandana brought us to a stairwell.
Yes.
And he kept going back.
Right.
And he carried people to the stairwell and handed us a fire extinguisher and sent us down. And then he went back up. And he had, and these disparate people over time kept telling the red bandana story. Mm-hmm. And they actually found him, I think it was months after the buildings came down. And this guy rescued. He was the loaves and fishes, right? God had to lead them down the stairs. And I don't know how they survived. I don't remember other stories of people surviving that were that high up in the tower. But this guy got to a bunch of people and he was a fairly successful equities trader and he wore a red bandana.
Huh. Yeah.
And that rescue story reminds me of where God puts us and what our roles are in some of these. And that one's is a story with such a sad ending.
Yeah.
But such a story of hope similarly. So it's just another, I don't know why in the course of walking Red this morning, Red is our corgi, that all of this has come to me relative to how does God use us, use you and me today in our personal rescue stories when we need to be rescued and when he puts us in a position to help somebody. And I want to be careful with that word too. I realize I think I have a fairly good idea when God brings someone, I'm just going to use Bob, you know, Band of Brothers for me. When a new person shows up, just because of having done it for a while, I can kind of size them up. I'll, you know, pull them aside. We'll pray and talk together and then understand. And I feel I've gotten much better at leading them to different resources that I feel might help them based on what their needs are at the time.
Sure.
That has taken decades, a decade and a half, as a matter of fact, 17 years to get good at that. But help me, let's take it from your perspective. You can start personally standing at my front door. There are other rescue moments in your life with being, you know, in jail and other things you've been honest about, you know, with folks before that have listening. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, so as a you know, a rescuee throughout my life, right?
Rescuee?
I mean, listen, from you know, the grips of addiction, you know, getting on my knees, you know, saying, Lord, like, you know, take my life, like end this,
right?
You know, and him sending rescue, of course, you know, through his people, through Tramp and Batman and you know, the biker crew that, you know, hijacked me. I've always used that word because they did. They're like, you're coming with us, right? I mean, rescued. And then, you know, years later in a much better place, but, you know, feeling, you know, lost and ill-equipped to lead my family, you know, what does this look like? And, and not having the guidebook, having, you know, or thinking I didn't have the guidebook. Right. You know, and showing up on your doorstep. And so, you know, I mean, what comes to mind is just, is gratitude. And when I look at the rescuers, you know, it's, you know, they were bird dogging, you know, it was the pointers that had the greatest impact, you know, on my life. It was, you know, Batman who said, I'm taking you here, you know, and, you know, brought me to another doorstep, you know, to Tramp's, doorstep, God rest his soul. Shout out Tramp. But it was that pointing, like I'm bringing you here, and Tramp going, I'm bringing you to the foot of the cross. And, you know, and then here, regardless of what God was doing in your heart at that time, right? And he molding and shaping and stretching and challenging you, right? And working in you as you took on this role of rescuer. And he's going, okay, just watch what I'm going to do here. Just participate in the story, right?
And isn't that beautiful, knowing when we have that kind of spiritual and emotional maturity that we know how far our ripple goes? Batman knew. He knew I need to take him here.
Right.
Good luck, Steve.
Yeah. That's all.
And then I'm done. Well, that's his role.
Yes. Yes. And
prayerfully done. Right.
For sure.
I'm sure he was in your corner.
And same with Dan Arthur.
Right.
He, you know, Dan could have very easily said, I got this. You know, no. Yeah. He was like, listen, there's a group of guys that are, you know, right where you're at, and you got to go over there, right? And so, you know, again, and because they're, you know, they're surrendering at the foot of the cross, so I know that's where you need to be.
Right. Well, the common denominator, you just hit it. By the way, I was saving that for the end, but that is it. I mean, we can go through it over and over and over. The common denominator in all these rescues, all the, what do I do next? Where am I? Lord, help me.
Yeah.
Is the cross.
Yeah. And I think, listen, I can also relate to, you know, the rescuer role. And for me,
I know you can.
A little bit different, but, you know, as I think about the people that God has brought to my doorstep in shambles and needing, you know, I mean, to be put back together.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't so much as me needing the badge of honor to be seen as the one that rescued them, but man, did I take an unhealthy responsibility for the rescue.
Sure.
And so probably more out of fear, again, you know, more out of fear of what would happen. This is up to me. This is all on my shoulders, taking on that burden for years, trying to be a type E person, you know, trying to be everything to everybody, you know, rather than an LF, a loaves and fishes person saying, God, I don't have much, but what I do have, I'm offering.
It's yours.
It's yours. Do what you do with it, because I can't do this.
This makes me think of a story I don't think we've talked about live, but I don't think you'll mind. We've talked about how we lead at work, and we talked about hiring and firing.
Yeah.
And I remember you telling me a story about having to let somebody go and how you've learned to do that, almost a transformationally, saying this is the wrong time for you to be here.
Yeah.
Young lady you spoke about. I don't want to get more specific than that.
Yeah.
But, you know, just how gracefully,
yes,
and spirit-filled release of that person and doing them a favor.
Absolutely.
Saying you're going to flourish somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's a rescue.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. It's, you know, our lives come to these crossroads, whether, you know, we brought them on or we didn't. And they're opportunities for God to redirect us, to redirect our paths, to work in our hearts, to bring healing, to bring, flourishing, you know, and so, you know, every one of those transitions, sure, you know, whether it's at work or in our lives, these, you know, chance encounters, right. They're mile markers. They're significant mile markers in our lives that we look back on and go, man, you know, yeah, I remember being let go. I mean, this is back about that time, way back when, man. And I was it was a producing job, and granted, they were not getting my best. Mm. I was not focused. I just told you I was working three jobs.
Right.
There's only so many hours in a week. That means three of my employers were getting about a third of me. Right.
Actually, there's 4/3 of you, just so you know.
Well, that's true. But half, but 2/4 of that, 1/2 of that, it was my own gig, and that was getting half. And then so the other two were really only getting about a quarter. Okay. They just got less. So no, and he's like, yeah, I mean, hey, listen, you're not producing. We're gonna have to cut you loose. And it was like shock and awe. Me? Never been fired in my life.
Right.
What
do you know who I am?
What a gift!
Yeah,
that was to me. What a gift! Because it is not where I wanted to be. It's not where God wanted me to be. I mean, there were a whole lot of things going on there at that time. It wasn't even. It's like, what am I doing here? So,
you leave that office though. Just, I'm making this up, but
yes. What
the moment I've been in sales for 45 years, so. And I'm stuck in some jobs, but there are moments where you get feedback at work, where you get in the car and you grab the steering wheel with both hands and put your head down on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did that happen to me?
Yeah.
Right. Which when someone has said, we've got to cut you loose. But now, however many years later, 30, 20 years later for you,
yeah,
you have clarity about that.
Oh, 100%. That was the catalyst that opened up the door for vocational ministry.
Bingo. There it is. And let God have at it for a while. Uh-huh. Like, give God a chance.
Oh,
is that could be another title for this. Anyway, all we are saying is give God a chance.
Yes.
But you and I have joked about this. It could not be more serious. We are not trained in counseling, psychology, theology. We're also not trained as trauma nurses or firefighters or first responders. We're not in the rescue business. You and I don't do this, you know, because we have our certifications and we can make money at it.
No, we're rescuees that occasionally get invited into the work that God is doing, rescuing others. That's what it is. Put that at the top of my resume.
Amen.
Rescuee, right?
This, I couldn't agree more. This ties in so many topics. A constant listener out there, you've heard us talk about caves. Right? You've heard us talk about growing 1 inch closer to a God who never moves. You've heard us talk about surrender. And this topic ties in all of those. That is, giving God a chance to use you in a rescue process is very hard to do when you're in a corner in a dark cave.
Yep, challenging.
It's very, very hard to do when you're doing things that clearly drive you further away from the God who loves you.
Yeah.
Not 1 inch closer, but a foot further.
Right, and from community.
Correct. It's also really hard to do if you're not surrendered, if you haven't fallen to your knees and said, Lord, I realize this isn't about me. I can't fix this. And I need saving grace. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the cross. Now, what do I do? Because that in our surrender episode, it was surrender, now what?
Yeah.
And the now what comes from, for me, Stevie, the rescue dog.
Yeah. And God says, bring me what you have.
Right.
And we bring some crumbs. Some crumbs. I got crumbs.
Yes, but I would, since I've seen God work through you in my life and others, I say with confidence, God can use you. And I want to say with confidence to anybody listening, God can use you.
And desires to.
Yeah. In your brokenness, in your sin, in your life, in your joys, challenges, mountaintops and valleys, you just got to give God a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easier said than done. I
very simple.
Not easy.
Not easy. Yeah.
It makes me think of, for me, this resonates with Marked Men weekends in the P1 experience that Spice talked about and we have talked about repeatedly. A group of guys shows up, missioners, you know, that are looking for something.
Yeah.
They're on a quest.
Yep.
And as a staff person there, I have found myself in a position where I said, oh, you know, I might be able to have some impact here, right? And in the beginning, now my P1 was now 12 years ago, maybe a little bit more. And long story short, I remember thinking in my first couple of staffings that, this is me doing the King Kong pound on my chest. I'm going to rescue somebody here.
Yeah.
I'm going to lead them to the light. It's just pitiful to admit it. But at the same time, the good news is I've grown to understand that being invisible in that environment and putting myself in a position where God can simply use me, whatever gifts I have, mm-hmm. I bring there.
Yep.
I set him at the foot of the cross and I get as humble as I can for 44 hours.
Yeah.
Which is quite a feat for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've heard your prayers on that weekend. I've heard them over and over and over again, you know, every year that we've had the opportunity to do that together and your prayer to be invisible. And you know, and I think God just smiles, you know, and says, yep, you know, yeah. And the awareness, the self-awareness, God help me not get caught up in
me,
you know, me and, you know, my giftedness and my needing acknowledgement, not to put words in your mouth, but
no,
you know, these things and just help me to be invisible and just be a vessel, is I know sincere and beautiful.
Oh, God has taught me, to get out of my meanness. That's what it is. It's meanness. it's a continuing battle that he and I have already agreed it'll be totally cured when I get to heaven.
Yes.
Yeah. But until then, it's work.
Right. Exactly. Chipping away.
That's it.
Chip away.
That's it. Don't get me started. God's chisel.
Shout out.
Oh my God.
Shout out Skit guys.
Really? Those are my guys. So I'm so ready to help people understand. I you know how I am. I get a good idea. I get it confirmed by a few men that I trust and love. And I'm so ready to be satisfied with the gifts that God has given me. I just have to keep going there. I need to see God at work and go and give him a chance to do his work through me.
Yeah.
And keep myself out of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, in today's culture, in our world, you know, whether it be in you know, in business or, you know, even in ministry or at home, you know, or with our friends, whatever, you know, the need to appear like we've got it all together, right? And you know, we can do this, you know, under our own strength and our own power and our own giftedness, it's commonplace, right? I mean,
right.
It sure. That's where most of us live, because short of that, you know, we're you know, we perceive ourselves as failures or you know, are seen as not producing enough.
Sure. Right.
Right. Like, I mean, you know, you better act like you got it all together, even if you don't. Right. And it's a, man, what a,
fake it till you make it.
Yeah. You know, and that again, the old, was it Irish Spring? No. What was it? No. Was it deodorant camera? Never let him see you sweat.
There you
was
go.
It? Whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Never.
I was going to say Old Spice, but that's not it.
No. Never let him see you sweat. And, I don't know. That's just not where it's at, man. Like, let him see you sweat.
Correct.
And in fact, you know, when you are, How about asking for some help or looking for somebody that's more equipped than you in that particular area? You know, again, things we talk about: transparency, vulnerability, authenticity,
right.
And you know, being willing to say, you know what, I don't have all the answers, I don't have it all together. What I do have is this, and bringing that before God, saying, God, I can't do this.
That's beautiful.
I can't. I've got, you know, here's what you've given me. I'm offering it back to you. Here's my two pennies.
Right. Here's my two fish.
It's all I've got.
Yeah.
Right. And watch what God will do with that. And, you know, when we come to the end of ourselves, he performs miracles, you know, especially when what we're looking to see happen is seemingly impossible.
Right.
You know, feeding 4,000, feeding 5,000. Yeah, can't happen.
Packing 2 million meals.
Packing 2 million meals, right? I mean, yeah, how on earth are we going to get 10,000 volunteers to show up in a little tiny little town of, you know, about
there's
that.
More, there's more meals than people.
Right. A lot more meals than people, right? Yeah. Like, how are we going to do that? And he just does. And yeah, what a great analogy, because there were many times where I was like, okay, feeling the burden that I need to make that happen. You know, we, right. you and I, you know, or the leadership need to make that happen. But he just does it.
You have to. This is an inside joke on Feed the Needs.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it in a prior episode, yeah. but it was a meal packing event with an awesome organization called Feed My Starving Children, and we were a packing site, and it started with a small 2-day event where we packed 100,000 meals, for the severely malnourished in third world countries. So. But over the years, that grew, and it grew to 200,000 meals, and then 400,000 meals, and then 500,000 meals, and then a million meal event. And then they were like, hey, we need you to do 2 million. And we were like, 2 million meals?
Right. In 5 days.
In 5 days. And it was just back to back to back tractor. I think it was 7 tractor trailer loads.
Chicken, veggie, soy, and rice.
4 ingredients. And
I'm sorry, protein.
Yeah. Veggies, and soy, and rice. I think it was 10,000 volunteers over those 5 days, about 2,000 people a day showing up. And it was unbelievable what God did. And, really a tremendous amount of work and a lot of fun. But that was so far beyond our capabilities.
Yeah. And
to mention raising the money needed to purchase those meals.
I was just going to say they packed them and paid for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That is a perfect example.
It is.
Of bringing the loaves and fish.
It is.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. There were kids. I mean, it's funny, as we're talking about it now, I'm thinking about the little kids that would have, they had little change jars. Right. That
right.
They would bring, little kids would come to pack meals and say, here's my portion, right? And, it was like, $7 and quarters and dimes and nickels. And they would dump that in and give it, joyfully. And God blessed it and expanded it. And,
All right, I'm going to do it. I've got to tell the story with Maria and the meals in Zimbabwe. I mean, I don't know if we told it, but talk about.
That's a whole nother episode, but go.
Well, just the folks, the Feed the Need meals was a Ziploc bag that held enough for 6 meals, which will tell you, if you think of a quart Ziploc, okay, which I think we can mostly imagine that 6 people could eat from that is shocking, meaning they didn't get very much food where this was going.
But often, nutrient packed.
Right. Yeah. But often, and in our case, we sent a lot of meals to Zimbabwe in South Africa. So the story goes, and I'll do the shortest version because Sarge has an episode in mind, is that some meals that we packed, a team of ours went on a separate and distinct missions trip, which my wife was part of and Sarge was part of.
Shout out Bud Jackson.
Thank you. And went to Zimbabwe, went to an orphan, and they had encephalitis.
A mission hospital. Karanda Mission Hospital, yeah.
In the middle of nowhere.
Oh, absolutely. Hours and hours and hours.
Yeah. And on the tour, got taken to a room where there were boxes.
It was So they took us to the pediatric unit.
Right.
And there was a missionary nurse who was there on staff. And she was talking to us about the types of conditions they see, and that most of the time, people would send these severely malnourished children that were there in this pediatric unit to the hospital to get, rescued.
That's it.
And we were like, oh my gosh, like, what do you do? And they had goats on the property. They would get goat's milk, and which was great for them.
Very nutritious. Yeah.
Very nutritious, as well as, for infants that were, recently born, for newborns. But she said they need more than that. And so we get these meals from, and I forget the woman's name, Mama Somebody.
Right.
Right. Mama Somebody sends us these meals. And when she said the name, I knew the name. I was like, oh my gosh, because when we had done the meal packing event the year before,
right.
I tried to find out, well, where are these meals going exactly? And they were like, they're going to this orphanage in Zimbabwe. Her name is Mama So-and-so.
There you go.
And as soon as this nurse said the name, I was like, oh my Lord, don't even tell me. And I said, what? And she said, yeah, she has more meals than she can handle. So she distributes them throughout the country and she sends them to us with the children because she knows we're caring for them. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I have a picture of this. So I'm like, so literally I said to her, can you take us to the meals? We need to see the meals. Like,
I remember Maria telling me,
we're running down the hill to the kitchen and there are the boxes stacked up that had been packed
right. The
year before in this gymnasium in Clinton, New Jersey. And it was like, it was such a God wink, you know, it was such a God wink. And it was the first meal packing event. And God brought us to this intersection, the middle of Zimbabwe, where these meals were, to show us like, see what I'm doing here?
Yeah.
You see what I'm doing?
Hey, like, it's so beautiful.
Keep bringing your jars of change. Good. Like, this is, and we were literally weeping. All of us just sitting there weeping.
Sure, taking
pictures. Yeah.
I remember hearing the story. Yeah. I haven't thought about that in a long time.
I have to see if I have that picture.
So the message here for me is sometimes you're invited into God's plan and you get to see your role and how it's going and how it ends.
Yes.
And other times, like Batman.
Yes.
You don't. You're a part of the process. You have to be comfortable.
So true. But you know, every now and then, God, our God is a God. He'll say, oh, I'm just going to show you.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you.
In case you were wondering.
In case you're wondering, I'm just going to show you. Yeah. Look at this ripple effect out here on the other side of the world, right?
Literally.
Oh, yeah.
Halfway around the world.
Yeah.
Rescuing kids in a hospital.
Oh, my memory
fails me. So that reminds me that so much of every topic we talk about, folks, is about authentic community. So you and I have a foxhole of guys, and this community has a lot of trustworthy, faithful, God-oriented men in it. And we have this... There are Rescue Rangers. Do you remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
It was right around Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Absolutely.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, my brain goes off to the picture right away. It's, you know, those little characters. But there are these people in our lives today. We have chosen to associate with and invite into our foxhole, in our authentic community, men who have all different kinds of gifts.
Yeah.
And abilities, and have rescued us. They are there for us in prayer. When you and I have a struggle or a challenge in the day, one of the first things we do is text the Foxhole fellas, right? Yes. We get the word out and say, the Lord needs to hear about this. So what we believe is that we would like more men asking God to act on this for us.
Yeah.
We believe.
Yeah.
We pray because we believe. Yeah. And I want to be sure that everyone listening knows how important that is. That community, that core that we talked about 25 minutes ago, where the cross is at the center of this. The loaves and fish come from maturing and God saying, I got this.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before, right? God has this.
Yeah.
And we have to trust him to do his part.
Yeah.
And we'll do ours.
Yeah. And yes, absolutely. And to go... you know, go to him in obedience. You know, the power of prayer, what you just said. I mean, there was just 2 weeks ago, you know, I'm holding up my phone, Joey Mark, holding my phone, pointing. I was like,
perfect.
I think my text was, need prayer stat.
Right. Yes. That was it.
Need prayer stat. And man, like, how incredible and how comforting to know that there's a group of six other guys that I know are going to drop everything they're doing in that very moment and go to battle for me in prayer.
That's it.
Simultaneously, collectively go to prayer. And man, there's, I just don't think there's anything more valuable or powerful than that.
And that, I can't think of a better way to bring this to closure and remind the faithful men and women listening. They all had people around them they trusted. Their authentic communities were a tremendous difference maker. We believe it will be the same for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel compelled to speak to the people. they're saying, you know, like I've never been a rescuer because I just don't have that. Like I don't have the ability.
That's not me.
I don't have the gifts. That's not me. Or those that will maybe, you know, just, well, God will just do it. Mm. No. God's calling you to step out of the boat. He's waiting for you to bring your crumbs, whatever it is you have, to bring your offering. He's waiting for you to bring that to the altar so that he can use you to do it. Yes, he will do it. And he wants to use you to do it. So for those like Mark and I that take the weight on our own shoulders and say, we got this, and God shows us we really don't. If you're like us, listen, bring your crumbs. Same message. Bring your crumbs. God wants to use you. He will do it. But just know that you don't have enough to feed the 5,000. He does. So bring what you have.
Bring, look, a little focaccia and branzino. And
dude, I'm telling you, man.
Now I'm hungry.
Oh, man.
It's that time.
You just took me to another place.
Does it have something to do with Italy?
It does.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Hey, everybody, thanks so much. It was great talking to you today.
Bring your crumbs.
Amen.
Today, Steve and Mark talked about loaves and fishes. We were reminded of our opportunities to partner with God as a rescuer and in some cases, as someone who needs to be rescued. I am reminded in my own life when God presented opportunities for both, being the rescuer and being rescued. And what a blessing it was when I got to the other side of it all. As Steve and Mark said earlier, we must never forget the common denominator of it all. In every circumstance, everything we need is at the foot of the cross. Lord, I am so grateful that you are here with us in this mission and for the hearts of the men who shared with us today. Hearts that desire to follow you and point others to you. Thank you for our listeners, Lord. You know every one of them, their circumstances, and what they need. Please meet them right where they are. Touch their hearts and reveal yourself to them like only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it and invite others to the Foxhole. You can find us wherever you download your favorite podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you know when new episodes drop, and please rate us and comment there too, as it'll help us get found by others who could benefit. Find, follow, and like us on your go-to social media networks by searching Foxhole Symphony or visit foxholesymphony.com to make it super easy to find us. Drop us a line with feedback, questions, topic requests, who knows? Maybe you'll be a guest on a future episode. In the meantime, prepare to move, embrace discomfort, and just be you.